Hello, everybody, and welcome into another exciting episode of Bloody Good Horror. You might say a blasphemous episode, John. Pretty excited. Joining me tonight. Oh, sorry. We're here to talk about Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney. And joining me tonight, first up from Manhattan, New York City, please welcome John Schnars to the show.
Hey.
John, is this review going to hurt your standing with the church this evening?
I think we'll be fine. My standing was poor.
Poor. Next up from the bucolic Pacific Northwest, please welcome Ariel to the show.
Hello.
And last up tonight from Indiana, he's our resident Lovecraft fan, apropos of nothing other than that we were talking about on Slack today. Please welcome Casey to the show.
Hello.
John, did you know H.P. Lovecraft was racist?
I mean, you just like tell me what year he was writing and you would guess that he's racist,
yeah,
right? I mean,
early 1900s. Yeah. Good bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back. We went to the theater this week. I went to actually, John, a nice theater this week with proper projection, and it kind of like blew my mind. Like,
treated yourself?
I might stop going to the Haunted Mall. The only reason I went is because they were the only one with like the playtime that I could go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you get a? Because you were in the afternoon. Did you get it for 25% off or what? You know,
I'm sure it was like $13, some ridiculous whatever inflation is for. It's random. I feel like when I go to buy a movie ticket now, it's a surprise. I never have any idea how much they're going to charge me. And a lot of places won't even. Allergies. A lot of places won't even do matinees anymore.
Well, so we were talking about this. AMC doesn't do anything before noon, I don't think, at least not in the city. But I think anything before 3 p.m., they list as 25% off. Some of them like, are like 30.
If I can get an 11 a.m. or like an 11:15 a.m., that's the dream.
That's the best.
The totally only problem agree. With that is like I get up a little late on the weekends. I eat a giant breakfast. I take in a lot of liquids immediately upon waking up.
How late are we talking you get up? Like, I mean, 11 is pretty late.
Like, by the time I get up and get moving and then do my whole breakfast routine and drink all my liquids, like, it's probably time to go to the movie. So I have just loaded myself with, like, liters of fluid and caffeine. And then I'm, like, sitting in a movie theater. Like, it was a little bit of a problem.
I feel like with Immaculate, you would have been fine. We got a brisk.
It's so short.
It was pretty brisk.
Minutes or whatever it was.
Thank God. Yeah. That's why another reason why I need a clean 90, John.
There you go.
All right. Let's do it. Let's take a quick break and review Immaculate.
This is it, Jennifer. Your big break in TV. From the prime time.
It's funny that I keep almost forgetting the name of this movie, John. Did you know that the name of my church growing up was the Immaculate Conception?
It's a very popular church name, I believe.
There you go. I should be able to remember it. John.
Mm-hmm.
Words.
Yes. I didn't know if you were. I thought you were going to blow past it, but there you got it. You nailed it.
There's a lot of them in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. It's long.
So I'm told. Yeah.
You've never looked. You've never counted.
Like most books, haven't read it. But I hear it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please bring us the word of the day.
Eric, today's word is pristine. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Pristine.
I had a bet going on with somebody on Instagram as to whether or not you were going to do Immaculate.
I might have already done it. I didn't look, but I was like, I can one-up that. In its original condition, unspoiled. And then the second definition, clean and fresh, as if new, spotless. Pristine comes to us from the Latin pristinius? Pristinius? Which means former. Sorry,
that sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
My ring light. It does sound like a. You're right. That would be a good one. Pristine.
Love it. What does that have to do with this movie? And tell me about it.
Well, it's a synonym for immaculate. That's where I got it from, anyway.
No, I understand how you got to the word, John. What does that have to do with the movie?
Well,
I get the A to B to C.
Okay. I mean, I was just answering directly the question you asked. Immaculate, as
you mentioned. How long have we been doing this, John? This is episode like 760-something, right?
Yeah, it might be in the 50s, but sure.
You're fucking with me at this point.
Immaculate comes to us from director Michael Mohan. I was giving him a quick look. He's done some other movies, but this was kind of the first thing to hit our radar for sure. And it stars Sydney Sweeney, as you mentioned, which is a big reason I think that this thing not only like got made, she is listed as a producer, but it is also a reason that it got the release that it got and that it performed, you know, the way it performed. Apparently, so Neon released this thing. I haven't seen one, but there's like billboards where her name is as big as the title or like virtually as big as the title, which is amusing. It's not many stars getting that treatment anymore. So Sydney Sweeney plays Cecilia, Sister Cecilia. She is, in the beginning of the movie, she is a novice.
Excuse me, John, it's Cecilia.
Cecilia. She is a novice traveling from the United States because her convent where she was like sort of in training or whatever is being shut down. She has been recruited to join this sort of like remote convent in Northern Italy. This convent is mostly, it was established to provide a home and care for aging nuns. So it's basically like where nuns go at end of, it's like hospice for nuns. So she's like one of the, she's like, you know, a recruit. The film kind of, I mean, there's like a little prequel or, you know, an opening scene, we should say, where we see another young nun trying to escape and being captured. So we know there's some untoward things happening at this convent. We are pretty sure. Cecilia, she shows up. She is initiated. So she becomes a sister. She has a friend named Gwen, who's like sort of her neighbor. She's Italian. Sydney Sweeney, Cecilia speaks no Italian, but there's like a handful of other people who speak English. So there's a lot of the movie that is like in subtitles. One just quick aside, it was very odd to me that we, the audience, were getting the subtitles when they were speaking to Cecilia, but like she didn't know, you know, like we're seeing the movie through her eyes, but like we know what they're saying and she doesn't. But then other times they weren't translating because the person would then translate for her. I don't know. It was some interesting decisions being made there. But she and her friend are just like going about their time. There's the father who has recruited her. His name is Saltades, Father Saltades. He's like a young priest who has like arrived at this convent after having previously been a doctor. And that's sort of like the setup that we get. And the rest of the action of the movie hinges on the fact that Cecilia, pretty soon after arriving, immaculately conceives a child. And this is scary both to her and
to... What does that mean, John?
Explain the
birds and the bees to me, please.
I mean, you don't have to because...
Because there were no bees in the situation. Yeah, I got you. That's the whole point.
She is she is carrying the savior. And so immediately the convent sort of like goes into sort of like protection mode, like, oh my God, you know, we can confirm and verify that she is chaste, which is one of her vows, but she is pregnant and therefore she is carrying what they believe to be sort of like reborn or, you know, returned savior, I guess. I don't know that that's exactly how it happens in the Bible, but they're excited about it. She's not, though. She increasingly it becomes a problem for her, I would say.
Right, and we can talk about it, but like they don't care about her at all. That kind of becomes a main theme, that like it's about entirely about the baby.
Are you familiar with the pro-life movement, Eric? Or
I am, John. Yeah. No, I understood. I understood what was happening. All right. Let's talk about it. Casey, what'd you think?
So this is one I did not watch the trailer for before going in. I went in kind of blind. I'm going to be, I'll be honest with y'all. I was a little dense on this one because going into this movie, Immaculate, I just kind of assumed it was going to be another boring possession movie. And, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's why they Immaculate. So I went into this really blind and go and cruising through there. And I ended up liking this a lot by the end of it. This movie is very slow at the beginning. You got to have some patience, I think. It's got to build up some steam. But man, once that steam is up and going, it really goes overboard. There's some place through, when I was watching it, I couldn't figure out if it was the second or third act. So I'm just going to call it the second trimester because that's the section of the movie it was in. This movie makes like a hard right and goes nuts. And I was literally slack-jawed for a little bit of it as it started to unwind. I've never really, the angles that they approach this at in this movie, I had never really seen before. And I think it's kind of brave of them to go after it. And I was kind of down for it.
Yeah. Ariel?
So I'm not quite as thrilled about it as Casey, unfortunately. I have a little bit of mixed feelings. I think this movie is fun. I think that Sydney Sweeney is great. She does a really good job of being very innocent and naive in the beginning. And then, you know, kind of as she finds out more, standing up for herself, which is great to watch. Okay, so the themes here are pretty obvious, right? It's all about like women's bodily autonomy. And as somebody who is like frequently filled with feminine rage, that part of it spoke to me personally. Yeah. And so I loved the ending. And I think there's a lot of like fun, gory bits in there. But I also think that it's a little bit underbaked. And the themes are pretty surface level. Like, it seemed like they wanted to kind of play with, like, high concept ideas and themes, but really didn't know what to do with them in the end, other than just the sort of obvious. So I think I wish that had been done a little bit better. I also think the movie veers into, like, nunsploitation a little bit, especially in, like, that bathing scene. And I thought, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Wait, which bathing scene?
right. There are multiple. I thought that that's the direction it was going to go in. And frankly, I kind of wish it had done, like...
That could be a pro.
Yeah.
Depending on your point of view.
I wasn't going to not watch another bathing scene, right?
Yeah, that's fair. But... I thought it was going to go in a more like bonkers direction. And there's a couple moments we can talk about where it sort of does do that. But I think I just wish they had either like leaned in or not had that.
John's just a fan of hygiene. That's what it's about.
It's true.
Of course.
I was so curious and I should have looked this up for the show, but I forgot. Do nuns really bathe in outfits like that?
So I read an interview with Sydney Sweeney and the director, and Sydney Sweeney was saying that like she doesn't mind doing nude scenes in movies. She's done them before, even with this director. They did the movie Voyeurs together, and I think she was topless in that. But she said it has to like make sense for the plot. And so they were saying that what made sense would be that these women would never be like completely nude. Mm-hmm. They would have worn something to bathe in. Like they called it a bathing gown.
It's totally possible. I mm-hmm. truly was just like, is that a thing nuns do? I've no, like literally no idea.
Yeah.
John, what do you think?
I had a great time with this movie. I sort of agree with both Ariel and Casey, but like they just nail it in the end for me in a way that I was mm-hmm. just like, hats off. Like great work.
I get that.
There's some like kind of medium baked to underbaked bits for sure. This whole like sequence where she's in the room, a big part of this movie, piece of the early part is we don't know if this is like to Casey's point, like a possession or like, is this like a Rosemary's Baby situation and she's like actually carrying the devil or whatever. We don't know what's going on. It's actually revealed. And I mean, we should just lay down blanket spoiler. I liked that this is more real and like corporeal. Like it's not, the premise is like, there's some stuff around like science and religion and yada yada yada, but like this movie does not presume any fantastical elements ultimately. I mean, there's like some in the science, I guess, but so there's like all this like, is it whatever, is there some fantastical thing happening? There's this bit where a painting falls off the wall. I can't remember why, or it's like hanging askew. And then there's like the Bible verse that's like written down, and she goes and like looks at, like, there's moments like that where it felt a little padding-y. Like they were just trying to like give you some head fakes. There were some goofy jump scares. Like there's the bird jump scare, which in retrospect makes very little sense, because the bird jump scare is there to sort of like make you think there's evil afoot. And there is evil, but it's all human evil, right? Like, so there's stuff like that that's like, whatever. All of it is fine. The movie is very short, or it feels very short. I mean, it's not very short. It's like a very tight 90. It's a little under a 90, I would say. And so, like, that stuff flies by. And then you get into the, like, once you're into the plot and you sort of, like, know where all the players are, it's sort of, like, midway point through the end of the movie. It's like a headlong rush. And I thought because you all had texted like, oh, that was really crazy what happens in the third act. And I had thought that I had seen all of the crazy stuff happen. And then the like real crazy stuff happens at the very end. And I was just like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those movies that like, I pretty much agree with everything that's been said so far. I'm super on the pro side. It, I think, has airs. It's kind of the perfect lane for me, which is that it's a little artsy. Like, it's a little, it's got like one toe in the art house, but at the end of the day, it's a genre-ass genre movie. Like, it's, but it really is trying to mix it up so that you don't know what's going to happen. And really, like, it, if anything, I think it really shows how just tired and lazy those nun movies are. Because, like,
you know,
one thing that it does really well is, or much better than the nun movies, right, is make Sydney Sweeney a character. Like, name one character trait about the nun. Tysa Farmiga in The Nun. She's mousy. Like, I don't know. Like, we've seen two of those movies. I couldn't tell you. Like,
she can, like, see the she's, like, clairvoyant or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, you know, there's a backstory here, and I don't actually think that I like Sydney Sweeney a lot. Obviously, she's still young and she's still like, I think, kind of coming into her own as an actress. She's not always like 100% solid here. Like, sometimes you feel that, I think, her youth a little bit there. Like, I don't know. She doesn't always feel solid, but she's, I think, compelling on the screen. And the funny thing that this movie does is like, when it takes that third act turn, you're like, oh, this is like a fucking genre movie. Hell yeah, dude. Like, I was like, am I watching Don't Breathe again? And then I was like, wait, who made this movie? Was it the Don't Breathe guy? Because that would be really weird if he just keeps making movies about impregnating someone that doesn't want to be impregnated. but no, it's not him. That was just where my brain went. It's really solid. And the third act is bananas. And I can't wait to talk about it because I have questions. Like, they make some really interesting choices in the third act. And it's pretty shocking to see that final scene in a theater. I mean, 20 years ago, this movie would not have made it into theaters.
So I saw this movie. Yeah. It was me and four high school age girls that were sitting like two rows behind me. And they were generally being well behaved. Like, they weren't, it wasn't like a lot of like chit chat or anything.
Just like, guys, we love Sydney Sweeney. Let's go see this movie.
But when the shit started to go off, they were like, whoa! Like, there was a lot of exclaiming. That's awesome. It was good.
You know,
it was
nice. Again, like, it lives and dies by the craziness, but there's also some really smart tense scenes. One that comes to mind is when they discover that she's pregnant. We don't know what's happening yet, right? We know the movie's named Immaculate, so like you're starting to put it together in this scene, but they're grilling her in a way that makes it seem like she's guilty of something. Like, they're interrogating her
that she slept around
because she did sleep with somebody, and that's how she's reacting to it. And there's great tension in that scene because you don't know anyone's motives yet. That's a really great way that they're sort of playing the actual plot against the audience a little bit. And that would feel completely different on a rewatch, which I think is really interesting about that too. I also love this scene where she fakes like a miscarriage, basically.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to get out of this compound to get taken to a hospital so she can tell somebody what's going on. I will say, you're going to go through all that trouble and you don't hide the chicken head? Like, come on, dude. Like, just stick it in. Yeah.
There's well, it was the whole chicken body.
Floppy.
Well,
yeah, like, you couldn't have put that somewhere that was a little harder to find. But then, again, that whole scene of like...
Hold on. Just my favorite part of that scene is when the fucking Mother Superior takes the blankets and like puts them on her
That's
face.
A great moment.
Yes. Oh, my Lord.
She's so
like
enraptured by
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. But then like so the back wild. And it's edited really well, the back and forth where... They're in the car rushing to a hospital. She's essentially putting in an act on, and you are slowly coming to the realization that she's putting an act on, and you figure it out a few beats before everyone else figures it out. So then that tension's ratcheted up. Then there's the phone call, and slowly he tells the guy to stop the car, and they chase her through the field. Like, I mean, that you know, that's not even like the most shocking thing by far in the movie, but it's a really, mm-hmm. really tense scene.
That shot when she's in the back seat and you can see through the windows that they're starting to slow down. That was a pretty chilling moment.
Yeah. I was going to say, Eric, you mentioned like there's like an art house scene. I know what you are saying. I think this movie is very well shot. Like the cinematography is
I just
really
mean
solid.
It feels like at some point there were aspirations of shooting above something like The Nun. And I think at moments they achieve it. And then at other moments, it's like, oh, this is a genre movie.
Well,
but it's like,
just,
but it, in a way that makes it, to me, way more intriguing than something like
that. Yeah, I was just going to put that on mostly the like scenery and the set design and the like location.
It looks nice.
It's gorgeous. And I do think it is well, I think the movie is very well shot.
I think also there are some moments where like the visuals are pretty striking that made me think it was going in like an art house direction, like Eric is saying, like the one where she's dressed up like the Virgin Mary and there's just like tears streaming down her face.
Yeah.
Like that's actually a legitimately beautiful shot and a silly movie, you know?
Yeah.
That shot to me makes the movie like, and it's the framing and the costume work, but you know, I always said like, she's not always, her performance isn't always solid, but wordlessly is incredible in that scene. Like the look on her face is so perfect and everyone is looking up at her and the lighting, it's just gorgeous.
No, Eric, I agree with you. Like Sydney Sweeney, uneven, I would say. I think the first act asks her to do a lot that she just like gets over the line.
Yeah.
Well, she won me over in the final scene though. Like the screaming.
And this is what I really like about her. Wow. You were saying she was involved in the production of this?
Well, she was one of the producers, yeah.
Like it's very, she seems to be very actively, again, like not necessarily, people want to make her a sex symbol, right? Because of the way she looks. And like you were saying, Ariel.
You
like,
wouldn't do that though.
She doesn't refuse nude scenes, but she also is very clearly like pushing against the people that want to typecast her and taking really difficult roles.
Yeah.
Like she just did that. There was a series that she just did where she plays a woman who unwittingly like becomes a spy or something like that.
No, it's another movie. That was
as a TV show, I thought. Or no, it was like a streaming movie.
Yeah, but it has like a weird name in any event. It's based on a true story.
I like the choices that she's making because I think she's really putting herself out there and trying to control her own narrative when everyone else is trying to write it for her, which I think is really admirable.
Well, didn't she kind of like, isn't the story that she came up with like a PowerPoint presentation and like to convince her parents to let her become an actress that, you know, and to go and do the Hollywood thing because she, you know, she came up with a plan and like a business plan. It's like, this is how I'm going to do it.
It's totally possible.
Yeah.
I want to just say that I loved basically all the other actors. My guess is they just like got the sort of like cast of some other Italian show or movie that none of us, like I didn't recognize almost any of these people. The one younger nun who is trying to escape in the very beginning is in White Lotus.
She's there in Italy.
Yeah. Otherwise, like the father, like the sort of like evil father. All of the priests and whatnot are evil, I guess. But you know, the main one, the sort of the bishop or whatever he is, the mother superior. I just thought they were all great. they're all character actor types, but you know, and they're speaking Italian. So I can't, maybe I'm just not evaluating their performance effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were good as sort of these like authority figures and, you know, that had like a bit of kindness to them in the beginning. And then when it gets to the end and they go kind of like mustache twirly villainous, it's really fun to watch.
So did we get to the plot twist fully?
No.
So what we discover is, I do appreciate though about this movie and the Nun movie, the focus on relics. I will say the Nun kills it in the creepy realm. Like the last one had like
the whole point of the freaking series of Nun movies.
Yes. But in here, what we find out is that they have the like dagger. They claim that they have the dagger that like stabbed Jesus on the cross. Right?
It's one of the nails. It's the nail from the nail.
It's a crucifixion nail.
Is it a nail? Okay. Yeah. And then we find out that
one of the daggers.
Well, no, because he's also, he's got this thing here.
Well,
right?
they spear him. That's a spear.
Okay, yeah. Fine, John. Whatever. I didn't know you were a fucking Catholic scholar. I apologize. So, what this guy has done, they were able to, this is the twist. He has genetically sequenced, they found blood on it that they sequenced, and now he specifically picks out these young women to bring to the monastery to try to impregnate them with the son of our Lord, John.
Yeah, it's a Jurassic Park thing.
Mm-hmm. It's Jurassic Park. That's really good. we find this out. Do we find out at the same time as her? It's like in an info dump, right?
Basically.
The idea that he's doing this complicated gene splicing. And again, like in movies, these labs always, there's no lights. It's like candlelight and everything's dusty.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not how science happens.
Well, and he gives the speech about, he's like, this, you know, they wouldn't let me do this in science, but the church has other prerogatives or whatever, you know, like, cause he had said earlier that he was working as a scientist or as a doctor and had sort of like left it after 20 years.
Yeah.
And you think it's cause he benevolently like wants to come be a priest, I guess, but low.
So that's the point in the movie where you're like, oh, it's this kind of movie. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
I appreciate that guy was kind of, you know, he was obviously kind of suspicious from the very beginning, I think, from when he first showed up. But then as he leaned into the villain character in that second half, I thought he had the right amount of camp for it. Thought he was a great fit.
Well, it's funny, too. There's younger nun who knew about this because she was hoping it was going to be her.
And well, she's like, she's like a middle manager nun. Yeah. She's like in charge of some of the other nuns. Mm-hmm. And she's very jealous because she, and so like you were asking, do we find out at the same time as her? We are sort of like finding out, like that scene happens and you're like, wait, what? Or, you know, it's, and she's taken aback. There's also, she sees that there's the like pamphlet or, you know, satchel of information about her that she, you know, they like wave in front of her at one point and she goes to like find it. And in there's like genetic sequencing. I don't know. There's like deep pictures of DNA.
Yeah,
I don't know that would like would have been in someone's file, but so that's when we sort of are like, it's unclear she's exactly put it together at that point, but we kind of, you know.
Yeah. I really did like that death scene too, because it's so over the top and so bonkers. And that's when I thought for a second time that they were going to go full like modern take on 70s nunsploitation. Because I mean, when the body turns over and her face is just like
mangled.
Yeah, it's just like hamburger meat with eyeballs. Like, it's really good.
And it's what's interesting, the way the movie sets up the finale is like, he's the last of the sort of like villains alive. She kills him and you're like, well, what happens now? And then you mm-hmm. find out what happens. Because there's a question. I mean, I think in the audience's mind, it's not necessarily spelled out explicitly until the end of like, well, I mean, clearly, John, this whole endeavor is how you make a demon baby, right? Like they think they're making Jesus, but like probably not. But that's not really explicitly said. But she says at some point, like, this is not of God or whatever. And she's starting to freak out and, just think things are off. And basically after she kills the guy, we see her, like, she wanders through the tunnels, right? And then she makes it outside. Mm-hmm. Cause, oh, because there's a catacomb. That's yeah, like that's where this the, kind of final fight happens. The tomb of St.
Stephen.
She makes
I loved
it out.
Her stabbing the guy with the Jesus nail, too. Mm-hmm. That was pretty yeah. great and satisfying. See,
I was surprised because I thought the whole point of her taking that was so she could burn it in the fire. So when she still had it, mm-hmm. I was like, wait, what? But, you know, whatever.
So she makes it outside, and then basically we watch her. The scene lasts like, it felt like 10 minutes, but maybe it was 5. We watch her, we don't watch her, it's off screen, it's half off screen, give birth. And then, get like, the baby is making, you don't see the baby at all. No. There's no shot. I think that's an interesting choice because it leaves it up for interpretation, but it was making some noises that I would not associate as baby noises, one, which made me think like
one blurry shot.
Demon baby.
Yeah.
Wait, do you get a shot of the baby?
You get a blurry shot where you see movement. Yeah.
Oh, in the background. You don't like, actually see like, out of focus.
Catch that. Okay.
And then she like picks up a big rock mm-hmm. and like kills it.
And that's
again,
it.
You don't see it. Credits. Like it's all just like, like you see her do it, but it's all just audio and like, and then the credits roll. And I was like,
the baby noises. A, it never cries.
Right.
Which is like, you know, I've been at some births and like the babies cry. Like it's normal. Yeah. And then there's obviously like, and we see this in other movies,
also,
like the baby.
Low sound, like,
well, it was like, there were like animal noises is what I would say. Like there was definitely some level of like animal noise that they were using in Foley there. To
it made me think of like The Omen, like when they dig up that baby that was like half goat or something.
Yeah.
Or not, whatever that was.
And I think they already kind of set us up
lamb?
To...
Just ignore me. There was something in that movie where they dig like up a goat or something and they're like, this was Damien's father or something like that. I don't know.
But they set it up for us to kind of think that there could be something like really, really wrong with the baby because that entire science lab is just filled with like jar after jar of deformed fetus because they have no idea what they're doing and they keep getting it wrong.
That lab scene is what makes this movie to me. I love this, like the weird Catholic mad scientist aspect to
it.
It's
so Frankenstein.
But that's why I also say I can't believe they went forward with it too, is those babies in the jar. Because you think of, in the context of those movies, there's multiple dead babies in jars and various forms of mutation. And in the context of this movie, that's all Jesus. Well, I can't believe people are freaking out about that.
Yeah, it's like the hypocrisy, right? It's like the point of so much of it.
Oh, yeah.
Part of it.
Because then really, I mean, the huge point of the movie, I think, a thing they really hammer in and keep coming back to is the idea that, like, she means nothing to them. And, it, like, they basically, once she's pregnant, it's like they own her.
Yeah, she's just a vessel. She has zero bodily autonomy. Yeah. Everything is controlled by them. She gets no say in it, and they don't care if she lives or dies at the end. Like, it makes no difference. That she's just there to be an incubator.
Which was expertly set up when they were doing that harsh questioning of her there when she first got sick at the bath. You know, in that next scene when they're, you know, have you had intercourse? Have you done this? Have you done that? That really set up that was... like the perfect setup to where they ended up going.
Casey, it's not intercourse, it's Congress with a man.
Yeah, sorry.
Congress, yeah. I like that. I
didn't want to be so risque.
No, I mean, I like all of that stuff, all of the theme. I think that, you know, it's a good setup, and especially in like a post-Roe world, it's very satisfying that all these men who have power over her body are slaughtered by her hand in the end. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty great. I just think, like, they didn't... It like tries to tread this line. I think what Eric was sort of saying about the art house versus the kind of bonkers malignant style movie where they try to go like deeper with the theme but aren't necessarily at doing it successfully.
I actually totally agree with you. I think it's taking a huge swing and it's successful like 60% of the time or something.
The thing I would say though is I would prefer this version than a version where they like there's, you know, 10% more dialogue and the dialogue sucks, you know, like, or
well,
like,
I mean, nobody wants sucky dialogue.
No, you know, but like, I think there's a version where there's like, you could try to like pull some of that stuff through in a more thought through way, but I don't know. It also could take away from some of what makes the movie so fun at a certain level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can see that for sure. And there is a line where somebody asks, like, do you believe in God? And the other person says, of course I do. Like, life is so cruel. Only a man could be responsible.
Yeah. Well, that's I mean, Gwen. Frankly, that's
Gwen. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great line. I mean, it's a little cheesy and cliche, but it's a fun line.
Yeah. No, I like the movie. It has a very strong sort of economy to it. Like it is, it's tight. And like that Gwen character, they get a lot out of her because basically every conversation she's having, her story about how she got there and then sort of like what happens to her when she sort of freaks out and starts like yelling about how something's wrong. You know, we get whether or not that's nunsploitation, what's happening, where they cut her tongue off. Like that's a pretty gruesome.
I mean, that's what's so fun. Like the violence is really fun in this movie. Yeah,
they are not messing around.
And also just like Gwen's reactions to like how the other nuns are treating her too. Like in that scene where she walks through the cafeteria or whatever it is. Like, I think there's not any real dialogue there, but it tells you a lot about like what's going on and how people are feeling about it.
Yeah. I love the little vignettes that they stuck in there with the groups of worshiping nuns, especially when like they had the red face going. I wish
they had done more with that because I thought it was really creepy and like a really cool visual. Like the scene where they're up in the window after the woman like kills herself, supposedly, quote unquote. I thought that was like a little bit chilling and I almost wish there had been more done with that. And I think it's another one of those like red herrings where you're like, okay, so is it actually like a cult that believes in devil stuff and that's where it's going to go? And
Well, because there's the piece in the very beginning when she first gets there and she goes down the basement and there's like the woman laying on the floor who's got the red mask on and she's like praying, but laying in like a crossfire. Those are the head fakes things where you're just like, all right, like whatever. I mean, ultimately it doesn't matter one way or the other, but it's a little little wacky.
And I do appreciate as far as like the writing of this goes, especially when compared to The Nun, and it adds to that kind of economic brisk feel of this movie, is to don't get bogged down in all the esoteric Catholic stuff. We get the story about, I mean, they're pretty straightforward. This was the nail that, was used on the crucifix and we found the stuff. And then they don't get into all the weird, the overtold blown stories. And, you know, like, cause we had to have the setup for every different relic that they had to find and like none too and stuff like that, which stretches that out. That's where it gets boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. There's not like a big exposition dump anywhere.
Yeah.
Cool.
And those bathing scenes, guys, I mean, no.
Okay, so here's the thing about those scenes.
please.
Like, I don't have a problem with nudity in movies. I think the whole, like, discourse that's happening online about, like, no sex and no nudity in movies is, like, bizarre Hays Code bullshit, and I'm sick of hearing about it. So I don't have an issue with it. I thought it would be fun if they had taken, like, a modern take on that, you know, exploitation genre. I did, however, make the grave error of looking up, like, I wanted to know what Sydney Sweeney had to say about those scenes, and then I accidentally read comments, and then I went like found some links and I went down some like rabbit holes. And don't do it unless you want to hate every man you ever meet, because that's what it's gonna make you do.
Listen, Ariel, when you walk around as a man, terrible. You just have to accept a lot of what you're coming to grips with right now.
Because people were just like saying gross stuff in the comments?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, error. Yeah. Dude, you can't read that's internet comments. This is like,
I said it was an error. It was my bad, but I'm just saying, like, it was.
I'm not trying to blame you, just to be good, but you know, yeah.
Men are gross. That's all I'm saying.
God. Please don't paint with a broad brush. All right, it's fair.
All right, I'm sorry, John. Not all men, not you guys. Internet trolling.
I think most is fair to say. All right. Would you recommend this, Casey?
Yes, I would.
Ariel.
Yeah, I actually would. I thought it was a lot of fun.
John.
Yes.
I am also yes. I'm going to put it on my top 10 list.
Ooh.
Stay tuned, John, to find out where.
When your heart begins to pound, when your mind begins to go, keep telling yourself it's only a movie.
Dante, please don't kill her.
No, I can't do it. I won't
magic, a terrifying love story. Magic, rated R.
This is Jason Mewes, and you're listening to BloodyGoodHorror.com. Yes.
BloodyGoodHorror.com or on Twitter using hashtag AskBGH. Join Patreon to get back episodes and much more. Patreon.com/BloodyGoodHorror.
And we're back. I fully spent three quarters of our conversation so far trying to remember, because I was looking at my list, and at number five, well, I'm putting Immaculate at number four.
Oh, wow.
So I've got Lisa Frankenstein, Love Lies Bleeding, ISS, kind of a banger. I think that's my sleeper hit of the year, honestly, ISS. And then Immaculate. And then number five, which I've spent the last 40 minutes trying to remember, which is Monolith, which I'm pretty sure I saw like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was like maybe 3 weeks, yeah.
I did remember it, though. That's the podcasting movie.
Yeah, correct.
Right? Okay, got it. And then number six, who could forget?
Night Swim, yeah.
Yeah.
Formerly number one.
Yeah, formerly number one. That's still right. On your
only
list,
four more movies to go, John, before it gets bumped off the list. Aren't you excited?
Lisa Frankenstein is number one is the correct answer.
So, all right, can I just, I'll give you my quick Lisa Frankenstein review, because I watched it sure. And I wasn't.
Okay.
You guys oversold it to me. I had a nice time. I had a nice time watching
it's
it.
Lovely.
It's good. I was not. I was like expecting to have like my mind altered about like John. Horror as a genre.
No, and it's just a like, sweet, fun,
I don't know,
movie.
80s,
very stylish movie.
It's like modernized.
It's fun.
It's about feelings, know. John. You wouldn't get it.
I think that is an egregiously terrible review of that movie.
I agree. That's my review of your review. Egregiously terrible.
I don't know. I was, look, like, I'm not saying don't watch it. Like, I probably would have been a yes.
So what's your number one right now?
Probably this. Like, I think Immaculate's the thing I've had the most fun watching so far this year.
Interesting.
Are you going to put Love Lies Bleeding on your list?
Probably not.
Just out of principle?
Yeah. It's so really good.
You stand on this hill?
You can. No, we'll see. We'll see how I feel at the end of the year. Guys, I'll tell you from the previews we've been getting over the last couple weeks.
Hill, John, have you met me?
I have. There's some really good looking movies coming. I finally got the Long Legs trailer, which I had not seen before.
Oh, yeah, it looks really good.
I was like, holy shit. Have you guys seen this movie Cuckoo? I'm kind of into, which looks fucking weird.
Cuckoo looks great.
I think it's the guy who did Lose.
Yeah.
Okay. Which was
it is the same director.
Yeah.
Was it Long Legs that I texted you guys about in the theater?
Yeah. You texted about. Yeah. And then there was another thing that I walked in right at the end of. Fuck. And I saw the like last minute of the trailer, and I was like, or not even, it was like 5 seconds of the trailer, and I was like, oh, what the hell? I'm gonna have to look up what it's called.
I'm trying to find Slack because somebody posted a trailer, or I posted it, but that was like, I'm extremely excited about. Today was the Joker sequel, which actually I haven't seen the Joker, but the sequel looks like
so. I just watched Joker for the first time the other day.
Oh,
didn't care for it.
Really?
Did not care for it. No,
I haven't seen it yet, but people keep telling me to watch it.
Here's a movie we didn't fucking need. Like it's like it actually makes me like the Joker less as a character having seen it. Like it's just whatever.
Well, that's terrible.
John,
yeah, it's not good.
Have you seen the Maxine trailer?
Yes, and I will
it
say
it looks so good.
It looks great.
I'm so excited.
It's very different from what I was expecting. Like I didn't know what I was expecting, but it's not that. And
John Levi says John doesn't love fun or love.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I am in on it. Now I'm trying to find this upcoming movie, but
Maxine looks amazing. Sleazy Kevin Bacon. The cast alone.
Yeah, the cast.
And what's
really,
really interesting is like I kind of always forget those first two movies were pandemic productions. Like he pitched them as that because they're both like isolated sets.
Yeah.
Where you need like 10 actors or something that you can just have on scene, right? And like I think they were shot at the same time because
yeah, did it back to back.
Yeah, because there was a trailer for Pearl. There was a little preview like at the end of the first one. So this is his first chance to sort of like post-pandemic expand it. He's got all these crazy act, like the casting is nuts in this little movie.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. I honestly, that feels like a thing that has a chance to be my number one.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh yeah.
Look, there's a, like I said, there's a lot of good stuff coming. Good luck to Night Swim. Stay on Eric's.
That'll never happen.
I already think this is a better year for horror than last year was.
Last year was a weird year for horror.
Yeah.
It just took a long time to get going this year. It felt
well, and I know the concern this year was like strike stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like there's a glut at all. It feels like if anything, we're swimming and stuff right now. Well, you might say we're night swimming, John.
I would never say that actually.
Night swimming in horror.
I mean, we had three big releases when we were at Horror Hound Weekend, just that weekend alone. So it's like all of a sudden it's the fire hose is open.
We've already missed a bunch of stuff too, some of which we may not need to go back to. But important question. I assume we're covering Civil War this weekend.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Okay, I really want to go back and watch The First Omen.
We need to get, I'm sure you have this on the list, Casey, but we need. Yeah, we should do The First Omen, even if it's, it has to be on video, although that just came out, so we probably have a couple weeks on that.
Yeah, Rachel and Matilda loved it, so.
We're going to do Late Night with the Devil when that hits Shudder. Yeah. I feel like there was another one that we
lost. Well, Abigail comes in 2 weeks, so we've got it's Civil War and Abigail are back-to-back the next 2 weeks in the theater.
And then maybe Omen if we can, or not, if not.
Well, it's sometime we'll end up covering Ghostbusters, I'm sure, as a filler.
Ghostbusters. We'll get to all this stuff. It was just like a random burst of stuff in March that kind of got on top of
us. Can I put you all on the spot on a decision that I think I've made for myself, but are we watching Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm a no.
Really?
I think it looks terrible. It's also like we've got plenty of horror movies to fill the slate, so
we could make it a judgment call, or we could save it for an open weekend video.
I'm going to watch it regardless. I'm excited.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not saying don't see it, Casey. Like,
I assume it's not Matt Reeves anymore, right? Didn't Reeves do those originals?
You two are the ones that don't watch movies unless we're doing them for the shows.
I'm true. I watched Joker this week. Come on,
Casey. Vanderpump Rules is not going to watch itself. Was Matt Reeves that original Apes trilogy?
Yeah.
But he's on to other stuff now, right? Like he's doing all these Godzilla movies and shit.
I know. Isn't he doing Batman right now?
Who's doing the new Apes movies? Is it someone?
It's the new one is Wes Ball, who I recognize that name. Oh, he did the Maze Runner movies.
Yeah. I know there's a time jump too.
Yeah, I guess
it's, it's set like.
It's now we're now in the original series sort of area where the people are primitive.
We're pre-original series. Like
hadn't fully evolved into the ape people.
This is a different universe though, right? Or am I to understand that this is in the original Planet of the Apes universe?
They showed the rocket launch of the crew from the original Planet of the Apes in the first movie. And there was talk of it.
Yeah, I think. Interesting. Okay. That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Dr. Zaius.
Always makes me think of the Simpsons musical.
Yeah. I mean, Casey sings it to us multiple times a year. So.
All right. Let's get on social media, Casey. What do we got?
All right. We got one on Threads today. It's from our longtime friend, the drummer from Foghat. Is hell just filled with heavy metal, lasers, drag races, weed, and all things fucking sweet?
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
Possible. I mean, I guess I hope so if I'm going there. That would be nice. But otherwise, maybe not.
It's getting dark. I mean, all of a sudden.
It's going to be that, but all the lines to the bathroom are going to be like miles long.
Oh, God, no. Forget it. I'm going to heaven.
And that's it for Threads.
Quick. Like it.
Yeah. Short and to the point.
One email this week. from, who do you think it's from, John?
Caitlin, our old bud.
Caitlin and Kissimmee. I'm officially on my 7th listen through the BGH classics.
Oh, Lord.
So that's how many are in the drive? I don't know how current it is.
We haven't updated maybe since like, it's probably like 100 episodes, honestly.
So that's at least 650 or something.
Yeah, there's about there's 650. Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy, but it has really become comfort food listening for me. I hear different movies that you guys suggest in passing, quote, added to the list, and I go and look them up, and I found some really cool nostalgia stuff from listening so much. Have y'all ever actually watched Mondo Keyhole, Casey's famous Mondo Keyhole flub? I have it saved, though it sounds horrible.
The Mondo Keyhole.
I forgot about Mondo Keyhole. For the record, and I don't know if this is still true. I hope it's not. That was our
password. Oh, that was our password for everything for years. It's not anymore. It's not anymore. Yeah.
No, we changed it. I'm pretty sure.
Thank you.
We had to lock out Mark.
Yeah, that's right. We had to kick Joe and Margo. Thank you all for keeping it going. Rachel's an amazing addition, and though I'm not a huge fan of horror movie norms now, I'm finding more and more enjoyment listening to someone who really does, which I think is more valuable than me hating on a movie that's not for me. Thanks again, Caitlin and Kissimmee.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of good stuff on Instagram. First up, from our old friend, Joe of the Suburbs. You remember Joe, John? He says, quote,
I do.
I've been told I have the face of an angel and a body built for sin. That's not really a question, though. Sorry.
He's so funny.
Love it.
Oh, God. The movie I'm thinking of, just really quick, I think it's called The Animal Kingdom. Did you guys see this trailer?
No, I don't think I got that one.
It's a French movie, it looks like. In any event. Sorry, continue, Eric.
First up from Chris, who would win in a fight, Immaculate Nun or the Nun from the Blues Brothers? My answer was Nuns on the Run, always, which is a British movie where two guys escape prison and then pretend to be nuns.
I have seen that.
It was just one of those HBO things.
That was an HBO watch.
If you had HBO, you saw it 400 times. Is it good?
Yeah.
Will you catch The First Omen soon?
I hope so.
The answer is yes. Yeah, at some point. I just can't. Some of these people have names I can read. Some of them do not. What would be... I don't know. I can't answer that. Next up, Levi. Do you guys think they could have squeezed another shot of Sydney Sweeney's boobs in?
It would have been hard.
I've seen her in a bunch of stuff. This felt pretty restrained, if I'm being honest.
I don't know.
Even with the nun baths. Have you seen Euphoria?
I haven't seen Euphoria.
Yeah, I don't know that this movie needed the shot of her taking a tinkle.
That's like one of the most chaste scenes.
It's just nature, Casey. I do it before the show. Amy says, did you laugh at the amount of door creaking in this movie? I actually didn't notice, although, listen, the building's old, so that actually makes, you know,
structural sense. I felt like there was a lot of just like Foley noise that got added in, and maybe it was just like my theater, but it was very loud.
Yeah, it was for me too. I think they were trying to like add more tension and scares, you know?
Yeah.
Tried to do it with the sound. I don't think it's like 100% effective, but you know.
Next up, Straight Chilling Podcast. If you didn't already have a nun kink, do you have one now? I didn't really spend time around nuns when I was a kid. So even though I was like, I'm a lapsed Catholic, I never really got the nun thing. It's not really my thing, John.
No. I don't know anything about nuns. But like, there's not a lot of nuns that look like Sydney Sweeney and some of the other younger nuns.
I've never seen a nun in my life that looks like Sydney Sweeney.
I've met a lot of nuns in my life, which is surprising.
That's right. You went to like a nun school, right?
Yeah. They're all old.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I grew up around a lot of nuns, not because I'm religious, because my parents were like liberation theology activists. And so they worked with a lot of nuns. But yeah, they were all older, for sure.
You didn't come across a Sydney Sweeney in your...
No.
I have been to a nun nursing home, by the way. Couple times.
did other nuns work there? Like, was it basically like staffed by other nuns? Oh, okay.
It's at the convent at St. Mary's.
Yeah, the nuns keep taking care of the older nuns.
Did you look in the back room, Casey, to see if there was any like genetic science stuff happening?
No, I didn't.
Any cloning going on?
Any dimly lit genetic labs?
Did they have a piece of the original cross? I didn't watch
Notre Dame football with them, so. I didn't get to see that stuff.
Two more questions, and I use that word lightly. First up from Roger, what are the odds Schnorrs uses immaculate as a word of the day?
Come on, Roger. Come on.
He came with it this week. I appreciate it. Last question from This Is Chris. This is so good. Why does my fiance hate Sydney Sweeney? Is it because she's perfect? Question mark. Oh, sir.
You can't say that out loud.
My response to him on Instagram was like, it sounds like your fault. Love it. All right. John, I assume by at this point you've listened to my new album, right?
It's queued up next in my spot.
Oh, you were about to do it? Yeah, that makes sense.
Right before the show.
And why then, rush? You know. It's only been out for 3 weeks, you know?
I'll dip.
If you like synthwave, please go to Spotify, look for Hi-Fi, HY-FY. I have a new EP out, has 5 tracks on it. John loves every single one of them. And you should check it out. Thank you in advance. Also follow me, EricBGH, on Instagram if you want to know more about what I do. What about you, Casey? Where are you at?
I'm on Instagram and Threads these days, cinema.fromage on both. So I'm enjoying the heck out of both, but you'll get a lot of my drawing and stuff on Instagram if that's your thing. Check it out.
Ariel?
I'm from the Zombie Girls, GRRLZ. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can look up More Deadly. That's the podcast that Rachel and I do about horror movies directed by women-identified directors. We have an episode coming out actually about Lisa Frankenstein that is coming up next. We loved it. So,
look, teach their own and all.
Yeah. And you can find us at ZG Podcasts on basically every social media platform you can think of. So,
love it. John, where can people find you? And you might as well, you're not on the internet. So, you want to just give your address out?
I mean, if you come hang out in the East 90s, I am walking around a lot these days.
Central Park.
It's getting very nice. So there's like a coffee bar that's a couple blocks away that I can sit outside and just, you know, get some work done maybe.
Now you know where John is. Mm-hmm. Love it. All right. Don't forget to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/bloodygoodhorror. We've had a lot of... great interaction in the YouTube chat lately, which I love in the live stream, because then we can like answer questions in real time, which is always really nice. So the more the merrier. Join in. All right, everyone. That's going to do it. Hope you enjoy the show. We'll talk to you next week.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.